This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 319. Even John McAfee knows you stay away from the island. Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm doing. How you doing,
girl? I've been doing. It's okay. It's all right. It's whatever. I'm good.
Christmas is almost here.
Oh, it's almost Christmas time. I'm so excited.
Me too.
I want so much stuff from the container.
Me too, and I'm not getting any of it.
Oh my god, but you can still want. That's the beauty of Christmas.
You can want all you want.
Everything. You can want as much as you want.
And no one can take that want away from you.
And no one's going to judge you because it's Christmas. You want everything.
Simply having a sucky Christmas time.
I mean, it's not that sucky. I mean, look, you got food. You got family, you got your health, you got video games that you didn't have to pay for.
Yeah.
Like, right now, you know, for the most part, Panda, you have a pretty good month. I mean, you know.
For someone who broke.
Who be broke as hell.
You as in $0.
I mean, you got new tires. You got, you know, cold.
Santa came early this year and helped me out of a jam.
Some awesome shoes. You got, like, so much to be thankful for. Well, even without a job, you got, like, bomb-ass friends.
Family.
And your family doesn't suck. Wink, wink.
Certain aspects of my family.
Hey! The ninja giveth the tires and the ninja can taketh away.
I'm not talking you. You're the good part.
Oh, well, you have to specify.
You're the Oprah of the family
to me. You have
to
specify because if you don't, that's how tires get slashed.
Dude, that's not even funny.
I know.
I'm not that's even. I'm giving you serious face
like,
right now.
Right now, that's why you can't be. You gotta be specific.
You are the better part of the family thing.
Because I go all Ebenezer Scrooge on a motherfucker sometimes.
But that's not what this podcast is about.
That has absolutely nothing to do with this podcast. That's a completely different thing that really we just don't want to have happen. We should just avoid that if at all possible. Maybe forget that I even said it. I mean, I've never slashed anyone's tires that anyone can prove.
I've keyed somebody's car before.
Oh, come on. Every woman has keyed a car at least once. Because every woman has dated at least one bad guy.
I've dated more than one.
If you've dated a bad boy, you've keyed at
No. I didn't say dated a bad boy. I said dated a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, well, I've never dated a guy with, like, a leather jacket who's all like, I'm bad and on the wild side. Because they know that I'm all about staying inside the lines. And not
you
living.
Stay inside most of the lines.
I do not secretly crave a life of adventure because I know that means I have to jump
over
something.
Yeah, but Panda,
really
every
high.
Once in a while, you're like, I see the line. I jump over the line. Fuck you, line. Whee!
Yeah, and then something happens.
And then
like,
you're
I'll
like,
never
oh,
do that again.
Never again. Never,
I'll
ever.
I'll never do that again, line. You are right.
Never.
You are stability
oh,
and
man.
Logic.
Line.
And you keep me alive.
Wow. I respect you so much more this
so morning. Much respect for the line.
So oh. much, so much respect for you.
Me,
line.
I'm gonna walk the line, but I'm never going over it.
That's what you always say, and then every once in a while, wee!
The woo girl comes out.
Woo! And then the next morning,
I'm fixing you. I can't believe that one time I literally could not even eat bacon.
Couldn't eat bacon. That's how you know you fucked up when you can't eat bacon. When you're like, no, I do not want this bacon. That's
like,
when you
what
know you
do you
need
mean,
to...
no, you do not want this bacon?
Okay, that's when you go into the ER. Doctor, I don't know what's
doctor,
wrong.
Doctor, I tried
bacon.
To eat bacon, and my body was like, I reject the bacon.
It rejected the bacon. Like, something
and I'm not
is
Jewish.
So wrong with me. Help me. You're my only hope. But enough of randomness for at least right now.
For the next 10 minutes.
Well, let's not lie. Let's see if we can go 5.
Okay.
But, and then you know, we shoot for the moon. We go for 10.
Fly me to the moon.
No. See, look, there we went. Not even a minute.
Panda and tangents. It's the same word.
Okay,
You could swap panda for tangent and it would make sense.
It really would.
It makes more sense than panda and tangents.
It really...
Panda tangents!
Pantangents?
Pantangents!
Oh, Lord. We created a thing. So...
Yes, we have.
Still, with the random. All right, focusing. Focus. Daniel-san, here we go. So, video games, tech gadgets, anime, that's what we do here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we got video games to talk about. So much video game stuff to talk about this week. I've been running through Far Cry 3. Panda has been making more attempts to be stealthy.
Yeah, that's not working.
It's really not working.
At all. I've had to go back to Rhythm Heaven just to renew my dignity and my gaming skills, just only to be smacked and punched in the face with Hitman Absolution still.
But that's okay, though. You're going to get it. I feel it in my bones.
I'm going to need to, because with the announcement that we're going to talk about later, I need to be on my A game.
It's for real. For real. So, I want to talk about Far Cry 3 first.
Really?
Yeah, I want to get this one out of the way because, you know, it's been hyped forever. We've been hyping it, or at least I have.
You have.
Since, you know, spending time at Yubi's booth this past E3, it's been crazy.
Crazy!
Nutzoid and all that good stuff. But I gotta tell ya, I did not take any day job time off for this game. And I kind of wish that I had.
Why?
So here's the deal. Far Cry 3 is a beautiful game. I mean, it's just stunning. The environments are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Okay? I am sensing a giant volcano
of butts. No. There's no volcano of butts. I'm going to let you know right now. No volcano of butts. Okay? But this game, like the Far Cries before it, does not coddle the weak. Okay? So, ammo is not abundant. And there's just shit coming at you all the time.
Like, all the time or like sides. All the time?
So, as you are progressing through the game, you and your friends are basically living it up. You, your brother, two of your brothers, and some friends are living it up because... your brother's back from the service, your older brother.
Your young brother just got out of prison. close enough.
Close enough. I mean, you're getting ready to go into college and all that kind of stuff. You've come out and so.
Oh my God, we have to live it up because we're all going to get separated when we go to school.
Celebrating life. You know, you went skydiving, you're partying.
Skydiving? What's skydiving?
It's when you jump out of a
You drive in plane the sky?
In a car. Then you put a parachute on it.
Oh.
I've seen it.
Man, white people just be crazy.
They be crazy sometimes. I don't know why you gotta take your car with you in a plane. I mean,
fuck no. I have dreams of just plummeting to my death in a vehicle. Let me not hasten that.
That's not a thing that you... No, not enjoyable.
No.
That car would smell so much like pee because I'd be peeing my pants the entire time.
Yeah, and it'd be like sprinkling in your face.
Oh, it's not cool. It's
just so your body cool. Would like have that urine scent when it hit the ground.
And you know it takes forever to get that scent off.
They'd be like, well, either this girl was peed on or...
Was R. Kelly in the car? No.
I said Robert.
I said motherfucking Robert. No, let's not see. Damn, tangent. Oh!
What was our time?
Well, it was like 4 minutes.
Damn, we weren't even at 5. Let's try again.
All right, so here we go.
Pan tangents!
So, you get to the ground, things are going cool, and then things are not so cool. There are a bunch of bandits on the island, and so there are very few places on the island that are actually safe to roam around in. There is a tribe that basically, and I say tribe because it's made up of natives to the island who are fighting back Voss and his bandits and other people that they've taken in over time. and offer protection for and trade with and things like that. And you'll encounter a lot of these characters as you play along in the game. But the game is very deep. There are all kinds of side quest things that you can opt to do. So it is a very large sandbox. You have missions that you can run to basically power down or power up radio towers. The more radio towers that you climb up and power up, the more merchants in the town will give you a discount and it will open up free guns.
Free guns?
Guns are really important. So that's actually a really important thing. I will recommend right now, if you do play this game, focus on the radio towers.
Is it very similar to the tower defense mechanism that you got in Assassin's 3?
No, not really. So where you would climb the arches and survey and get the maps, that's a piece of it, because as you open up radio towers, then it frees up communications for the black market merchants. And so it allows them to bring in more guns and to trade more ammo. And so that's why you get the discount at the different merchants. And you will unlock and basically get possession of several different types of weapons that will be useful. Everything from SMGs to specialty crafted weapons. And that's really important because, as I said, there are all kinds of things that come at you that you have to deal with. So it's not like you could just walk down a path. You are on a jungle frickin' island. So there are wild fucking animals. Like bears and shit.
Bears and shit?
Will attack you viciously and kill you. So you better have guns with bullets. And I said bullets because unless you have
bullets?
A sniper rifle that you have beefed up with a couple of specialty items that you can attach, a single sniper bullet is not going to take out a bear. I have learned this painfully.
I'm not surprised about that.
It takes more than one bullet to kill a bear.
It takes, well, yes, a bear, like a rampaging bear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because all that momentum, even after the brain is
not prepared,
still in motion.
I thought my bullet was a magic bullet. I was wrong. It's not a magic bullet. It will also not kill a Bengal tiger. It will kill
ferrets,
wild dogs. Will kill warthogs. So, you know, that's good.
You killing pumbas out there?
You gotta kill puma. Puma attack you. Puma die. Okay, and
that makes sense.
Doing the scavenging hunt for animals is important because skinning them, much like in the Assassin's Creed game where skinning
animals,
not trade them for guns. They do have some worth depending upon how you take out the animal, but the real worth in hunting down animals and skinning them are getting the skins so that you can do things like build gun harnesses so you can carry more weapons on you.
No offense, but I never understood the whole philosophy of carrying so many guns because they weigh you down.
No. You want many guns because you don't have a plethora of bullets. It's not like there are just bullets all on the path when you walk down a road.
Hey, look, a chest with bullets
exactly.
In it.
That does not happen.
How convenient that, for me that hero does not of happen. The game.
So you need to have multiple weapons.
Imagine
so that when
bullets.
So when your sixth shooter is shot its sixth shot,
you've got another gun to go.
You have another gun with more bullets because otherwise you're going to resort to the little bit of C4 you have. And guess what? Trying to take out a warthog with C4 is like trying to milk a kitten.
Wait.
This shit just doesn't work.
Is it a female kitten?
No. It doesn't work. It does not work.
Got it.
And yeah. So, definitely take my advice. Unlock radio towers. Get the discounts to get guns and ammo. Get the free guns whenever possible because you're going to need them. If you see pigs, you kill them pigs. You skin them pigs.
Slice the rind from that pig's behind, bitch.
So you can make a harness because you will not be able
to
equip.
You eat the rind.
Will you listen to me? You take the hide.
Hide, and you make a holster. You fry that rind up, make yourself some bacon.
You are not frying the rind. You ain't got time to light a fire. There are bandits. They be roaming the land. They don't just stay in the little bandit camp. They run around the island, and you have run away, Jason. They are looking for your ass. Voss wants to kill you.
Why? What did he do to Voss?
He was going to auction you off into slavery and make money. You and all your little buddies. You and your brother break out. And by you and your brother, I mean your brother breaks you out. Because your brother...
is your bro.
He's not only a bro, but he was in the fucking service. I believe that he was a fucking SEAL. So he busts you guys out of your prison. You're trying to make it to the jungle. Just as you're about to make it to the jungle, Voss sees your ass, puts a bullet through your brother's neck.
Wait, the SEAL?
Yes, because you guys don't have guns. You were skydiving, then you weren't skydiving. You have no guns, you have no weapons, you're trying to get out, and you have no armor. And so he puts a bullet through your brother, the SEAL's neck. He dies in your hands. And then Voss is like, I'll give you 10 seconds. Run, bitch. I said run! And you do, and you make it to the jungle if you jump right at the right time. But there are bears chasing you. There are dogs chasing you. Voss's dudes are shooting at you. And you end up in the water.
I don't understand the point of wanting to sell you into slavery. Because wouldn't they want you to not, you know, be dead to do that?
Look, you're not the only person that they kidnapped. There are other people who were vacationing and trying to live it up on the island.
See, and this is all this has taught me is to just not go to a pretty much low inhabited island.
What has taught me is you only go to Sandals Resorts, white people. Don't go.
Not even that.
Don't go on the off island tour.
For me to live it up, take my ass to Vegas. I will stay on the strip. I will never venture off the strip.
My safari will be to go to downtown
and back uptown. I'll go to Paris. I'll go to the Wynn. And you know what? And that's great. And that's my living it up. I do not need to be out in Bora Bora where there's no...
The water is pretty, though. The water is mad pretty.
Yeah,
dog.
But there are parts of Bora Bora that probably have people or things that want to eat your face. And not in the let's make out way.
They're making bath salts in Belize with John McAfee.
So I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Change your perspective about what living it up means. Because getting
bottle service at Moon.
Bullet through the neck. You're not living it up because
no.
You're dead.
No, you're dead. You're dead. So, I am probably a quarter through the game at this point. I'd be further along if I had actually been able to spend more time with it. But I gotta say that...
Boohoo kitty.
Don't boohoo kitty. You've had all week. What progress have you made in Hitman? Do we want to go there? I don't think we do.
I've been trying and just been failing.
What? Yeah.
There's a difference. I'm trying.
Yeah, whatever. So, first of all, I want to say that picking up the game, just like picking up any other action shooter, first person, the controls are very comfortable, whether you are a avid FPS player or you're new to the game. Like I said, it doesn't coddle the weak. So even on the easier setting, which I started out on, and then I bumped up the difficulty, and then I was smart and I put it back, ammo does not replenish. It is costly, so you are constantly having to hunt. The beautiful thing about that is you have a map, and the more radio towers that you open up, the more you can see on the map of where things are, like great hunting grounds. So it will earmark a hunting grounds where you can probably find warthogs and pigs, or hunting grounds where you can find tigers and bears, and the more... exotic animals that will probably net you more money. So you can plan out what you're trying to kill and earn to make or create, craft bigger satchels so you can hold more ammo or more medicine and so on and so forth. So very much a mechanic that you're used to in FPSs, which has become very popular of late, which is the RPG element of crafting and smithing. You do have the ability to upgrade your skills. So weapons, depending upon what level they are when you purchase them, some have additional upgrade slots. So very much like Call of Duty where you could add a scope or a silencer. You can do the same on some guns in this game, but it's not as deep a modification system as Call of Duty. Most guns have two slots, if they have any slots at all, for an upgrade piece. The game runs really fast. It's another game that I'm surprised that I haven't had to install it to my Xbox to play it well. The load times are really reasonable, which is when you're trying to get through a game as fast as possible, is a huge help. And I gotta say, I haven't been let down. What I expected Voss and the camp to be and the game to play like from all the hands-on time that we got at E3, the trailers that have been released up till now, I'm not let down. It lived up to the hype that it built. I mean, the characters are very believable. I believe that Voss is fucking demented. And I am actually terrified of going up against this dude, to be honest. I mean, because he just doesn't give a shit.
Well, I'm sure something happened to him.
I have no doubt. But it's a very believable crazy. You know, it's a palpable crazy. And I enjoy that, you know, I feel like he is a bad guy. I really do feel like he is a villain, you know, in a classic sense, which is cool, you know, and the character that you are, you start off very timid, very unsure, you know, you're the party kid, your older brother was there to take care of you, and now he's gone, and you've never killed anyone, let alone held a weapon. You are rescued, by, this very nice, but at times cryptic, black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And as you wake up thinking that you had died, he's tattooing your arm. And your tattoo is actually very important. It is a integral part of the game in that as you develop skills, your tatao, as they say, fills in. And depending upon the skill sets that you build, different things are reflected at different times in your tattoo. So as you become more and more badass, your tattoo grows. Okay. Which I think is a cool aspect. So it's a great way to...
So it's something that, you know, if you're not overly thinking about it, it's something that you're going to notice throughout the game?
Correct.
Like, something's off about my character. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to move on. And then all of a sudden, it's blatantly obvious.
I think so. I mean, as you progress through the game, you become more and more of a warrior, and that's why your tattoo grows. And I think it's just a cool visual way to chart your progress in the game.
See, so, now that makes sense that at PAX East, they were saying that they were, like, giving people copies of the game if you did the Mohawk or you got a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Now that pulls into the importance of the tattoo. Because at first I'm like, I don't get, it's like, what kind of tattoo? Like, what is it? And now it's an integral part of the game, which
it really
makes
is.
So much more sense.
And so I find it to be a very interesting mechanic because it's a very cool visual way to chart your progress in the game. As you look down at your arm, the more your tattoo becomes filled in, the closer you know you're to the end of the game. And I think that that's, to me, a little bit more interesting than just your typical, you know, your map fills in as you progress, or
right,
you know,
no, that's a smart way to do
your, it. Your bar just fills,
and I mean, I think the element of having a hero that grows into being a hero, not just being a hero from the start, and keeping that glory up is a great way to do a story.
Correct.
I mean, I think people wouldn't have really gotten to like Ash from Army of Darkness if he hadn't been a lax person in the Evil Dead movie,
right?
And then when he became badass later and demented, people were like, oh man, I can totally relate to that because we've all been that outsider of a situation who then had to rise up and perform.
And that's exactly what's going on here. And so as you start...
perform, get it?
Yeah, really. As you go through and progress in the game, you know, your skills are not great. You know, you get a gun, but...
I wouldn't shoot it at that stage. We've never held a gun in
your shot
life.
Isn't perfect. You're shaky all the time. And, you know, it takes a while to progress and build your accuracy up and your stamina up to shoot well. There, you're now looking for your friends to find out who's left and to make sure that you can get them away from Voss before they're sold into slavery. Some of them have, or I should say one of them has, escaped on her own and is sick, and you're trying to heal her and let her know what's going on. And so you've met this doctor who is taking his own medicine, is the nice way of putting it. In the mission where you're trying to find medicine to break her fever, you have to track down these mushrooms. In tracking down these mushrooms, you actually set off a gas that gets you high. And you have, I think, one of the more trippy psychedelic experiences that I've had in a game. You know the moment where you're playing ME3 and you have the final vision as Shepard of the Guardian and people dying in the woods and all that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. That was nothing compared to this. And I was like, dude, this is like 20 minutes into the game.
They're setting you up for a thriller.
Yeah, and it was very visual, like you're walking into stuff and there's glass breaking and there are mushrooms flying everywhere and somebody's trying to talk to you and you got Voss over your shoulder and she's like, what the fuck? And then you fall and you think you died and you haven't. And then you start seeing people die and talk to you. It's very fucking weird. But like I said, didn't disappoint. Like, it would have been very simple to be just a straightforward FPS, and this game, as far as I've played it, is anything but that. It is not a straightforward FPS.
Everyone's saying that it feels like what is it? They say it's like BioShock with guns? I don't remember which analogy they're making. It's like blank with guns.
I wouldn't say it's BioShock with
guns.
Like,
I think, I guess the setup with the first person where you see one hand or whatever. Like, people are saying that the visual kind of reminds them of, like, BioShock, but there's guns.
Well, you don't necessarily just see one hand. It just depends on what you're doing. Like, if you have a gun out, you know you have a gun out, but you always have a melee weapon, and so you have a machete. So when you run out of bullets, you can at least machete stuff. Because wild dogs will attack you, and there are some missions where you have to go to areas and wipe out the wild dogs that are there in order to get some bonus money. So there are all kinds of little mini missions. There are things that different shopkeepers will want you to do. People in the town will want you to do. The game has a built-in fast travel mechanic. So once you've cleared an area, you can travel back there because you can explore areas in their entirety. You are not limited to any section of the map. So if you want to go and wander off to Crazy Town where things are much more powerful and you haven't leveled up yet, you can do that if you want, you crazy fuck. I don't recommend it. You will have your ass handed to you. So you really should take the time to build up your skills as you can. You do get skill points at which you can split between your ability to fight and your ability to... So your melee ability and your shooting skills, which is important. I highly recommend that you spend time on that. Very, very useful. You have different things, for instance, with explosives.
Explosives.
I mean, explosives are important. I mean, you start off with some C4. You have safe houses in the game, and that's basically when you've completed a mission, you will always be able to go to a safe house in that area where you can re-up, basically, on ammo, weapons, safely. The doctor's house is one of them, and I believe that as you progress even further into the game, you'll be able to re-up on medicines there. You can learn recipes to craft things like medicine, depending upon the flowers that you gather, so there are...
They want you to pick flowers in this destitute time.
You do. And some of them are in the water, so you have to swim to them. And some of them are so deep that you might run out of air if you don't plan it right. So, you know, just be mindful of different recipes call for different things. So keep track of, you know, how many red versus green versus amber versus white flowers you need to collect for different recipes. What's really cool is that you don't have to go back to a safe house in order to craft a recipe. Once you have all the pieces that are needed for the recipe, you can craft them on the go. So that's really useful so that you don't have to fast travel back to a town to go to a smith to craft the things. You can just do it right then and there because you've learned the skill. So that's a cool thing. Like I said, I'm maybe a quarter of the way into the game as far as completing the story, and I gotta say, I'm really enjoying it. And I really thought that as much as it had been hyped, I was going to be a little let down once I actually got the game in hand. You know, it had been pushed back so many times, I thought, okay, well, there must be some serious bugs that they're trying to work out, and, you know, am I going to have the great experience that I expect to have? Or, you know, were they working out some things that they showed off that they weren't actually able to deliver on? And so was it not going to be as good as I really expected? You know, the questions that gamers often ask when a title is pushed back, you know, is it because of quality or is it because you can't do something you said you were going to be able to do? And you get a little hesitant about it being good still at that point. And I got to tell you, it's good. It's really good. I don't think that it's the best first-person shooter that I've played thus far this year, but I haven't finished it yet. I haven't finished the story yet. And I can tell you right now, the story is really gripping. Like, I want to know, am I going to be badass enough as Jason to take out Voss? Or am I going to end up with some ending that the fucker's going to somehow be alive and we're going to have to go to Far Cry 4? To finally take his ass out. I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. I'm having a fucking ball playing this game right now.
I can tell.
So, good job, Yubi, because I was kind of doubting for like half a second. I really was. I was kind of like, but doubts be gone! So you can pick it up for your Xbox, for your PS3s, and... Is it available on the Wii U?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think it's PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. We'll double check and we'll put it in the notes. But if you have any of the systems that I've mentioned for sure this is on, and you like FPSs, you really, really need to give Far Cry 3 a try. I gotta tell you, you know, we put it in the gift guide for a reason, and we were kind of right. Just saying, you should really check it out. It's good shit. Ninja tested, ninja approved. Panda!
Yeah.
It's your turn on the mic.
Well, I mean, I already told everybody that I'm just sucking in Hitman Absolution. That's what
I'm saying. Hey, but you know what? That's okay, Panda. That's okay, because...
No, it's not okay.
Here's the thing. That which you suck at... only makes you strive to be stronger and erase your suck. You will erase the stench of suck that kind of wafts off of you right now. It's like a soft...
But it's a soft waft right now.
It is. Because
that's the only game that I'm really struggling with right now. But granted, I'm focusing on not sucking at it. But I mean, we do have some VGA stuff to talk about and some great announcements that came out of the Video Game Awards. One that literally my jaw dehinged from my face. And then fell to the floor as it's being described. Because as soon as I heard...
What was awesome was that when this announcement was made, you literally clutched your chest like Red Fox in Stanford and Son. I like to die. It was so funny. And here's the thing. I guess that if I played the game, I probably would have had the same reaction. But, you know, I only have room in my life for one game to spank me with difficulty, and that has typically been Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, I know. And this is a totally different kind of...
I can't be getting ass smacked from both sides. Like, I got, you know, one cheek at a time. Left cheek, right cheek.
I can't believe you just made a reference
to the Booty Work song. Yeah, I did. As soon as I started doing the ass smack thing, my brain was like, do it. Do it.
But anyway.
T-Pain!
So, I mean, before we even talk about the whole VGAs and what we thought about the, you know...
Because we did have some serious thoughts.
That were happening that
night. Oh, we got opinions, people.
They announced Dark Souls 2.
And they world premiered the trailer.
And they showed us the trailer.
And Panda...
freaked the fuck out.
Wanted to go run and hide.
I wanted to go and write in my emo journal because I do have one.
I know.
For all my emo thoughts and sad thoughts. And all I could just say is, what? Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? To which Ninja was just like, yep.
Yeah, every time we were like, are you serious? And I was like, yes.
I was like, are you fucking with me?
No.
And then I saw it. So, you guys should know, if you guys have been long-standing listeners of me, that I tend to like games that truly test my capabilities.
Yep.
I like to be hurt and hurt bad.
Panda likes a challenge.
I am a game masochist, apparently. In some regards.
True. Yeah. No, you are.
I strive to hit legendary, hard, and veteran levels of gameplay. I like to feel good about myself, and that's how I do it.
I like to finish a game. That's how I feel good about it.
I like to do that, too.
I know, but see, here's the thing.
She's just happy with beating it on easy.
Here's the thing. A win is a win is a win, okay? Whether I save the galaxy doing it the hard way or the easy way, the galaxy gets fucking saved. There's so much more
satisfaction when you've beaten every odd.
That's you. I don't need extra satisfaction. All I gotta do is get some satisfaction. Okay?
I want it all.
And then sometimes, you know, there's different flavors. For instance, Call of Duty, okay? I wanted to get the good ending after I blew through and got the shitty
ending. Really ultimately bad ending.
Yeah, so then I was like, I gotta redeem myself now and really pay attention and get the good ending.
Like the ending that says, yeah, you put the disc in.
And you put bullets in things. Ooh, la la. Yeah, that's the first ending.
What she got.
But then I was like, okay, now I'm gonna go through and pay attention to shit so I can get the good ending. And I did. And I was like, all right, now I feel good about the single-player campaign. Okay? I didn't have to do it on hard.
Oh, man, I go back multiple times, as you know, in certain games.
In certain games. Okay? Like, Ninja Gaiden, I'm never going to beat it on hard. I tried. And tried. And I tried. But I couldn't get no satisfaction.
Apparently not.
So I put that shit back on normal. And that, for me, was like, this is my heart.
But this is the problem. The games...
Ain't no problem.
The games that have the element of difficulty for you that you strive for one, they mention that there's a difficulty. The fact that you can walk into Demon's Souls and they're just like, look. we're not telling you that this is easy and this is hard. Like, this is just the world. Figure it out.
See, that right there tells me there's only one difficulty, and it's called, you're fucked.
It's called, you're fucked, get ready.
Yep.
And that's fine. And I mean, Demon's Souls was my first platinum trophy. I got
congratulations.
Yeah, it was. And then Resident Evil 5.
I mean, seriously, that's an achievement.
Was my second one. Well, Demon's Souls, I had a lot of help, because I had a partner in crime who would wipe Blue Phantom for me a lot, and he was, you know, and I think after a certain amount of levels, you had to be within 20 levels of each other to even be Phantoms for each other, and he was always way up, so he'd always help me level up with another character so I could play with his badass character. So it wasn't just me alone, it was me and a ghost. But I mean, I played through Demon's Souls twice, and every time you go in after you've played and you go into a new game plus, it increases the difficulty. Things don't take damage the way they used to. So you have to adjust your gameplay to counteract the new difficulties that they're not going to outrightly tell you the things you need to be observing and watching for. And I mean, I had fun playing through Demon's Souls twice. Like, I'm a boss about that. And I loved every minute of it because I felt completely and utterly accomplished.
Okay, right.
So then Dark Souls comes out, which I knew it was like this. It's the soul, like it's like the spirit sequel to Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it doesn't happen in the same place and the format was completely different.
But other than that, it's like so alike.
So like they were like fraternal twins that got separated at birth but ended up going to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school as each other. That's what it's like.
Oh, okay.
And Dark Souls, I was a magic user in Demon's Souls, so I thought I would go the same way at Dark Souls and thought I would have a better understanding as to how I should navigate and move through the world. And now, you know, going into Dark Souls, I was not prepared for the element of difficulty where, as before, you had to unlock fog doors to get to bosses. Now bosses are in the middle of the field. So you could be walking, avoiding smaller beasts,
and trigger a boss fight.
And stumble onto a boss fight.
Yay, you!
That's not fun. It's really, really, really
not fun.
Really, really not fun. And sadly, I'm only halfway through Dark Souls 1. Because I rage quit something fierce because, like, I just kept dying, and if it wasn't something stabbing me, it was me misjudging the setting and mm-hmm. falling off of something because there's no invisible walls in this world.
Oh.
So if there's a cliff, it's a cliff, and you're falling over it.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, does that piece of walkway look walkable? Nope. Oh. It might look walkable, but it sure fuck isn't.
It's not.
And then the sad thing is when you died in those, you have to get back to your body. And if you fall into a pit, you kind of can't get to the bottom of the pit to retrieve your shit.
Aww.
So there's a problem.
Yeah, that
you can't get to your bloodstain. There's a problem. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Demon Souls had a really good thing of if you fell off of something like that, it put your bloodstain to the closest point where you wouldn't fall and die.
Mm.
Dark Souls, I wouldn't say necessarily does that. So they're like, if you're dumb enough to fall off this thing, well then you weren't holding on to anything you really wanted in the first place.
If you're dumb enough to fall off this cliff, you don't need those items that you gather.
You don't need that item that you've farmed for the last 30 minutes of your life. But even though I for a long time hated the game and never thought I was going to complete it, the minute I saw the trailer for Dark Souls 2, I'm like, I have to go back now. It's calling to me to go back now. Because this is literally Dark Souls 2. So I feel like this is going to be more cohesive to Dark Souls 1 than Demon Souls is to Dark Souls.
Okay.
So
I should hope that Dark Souls 2 is more to the point of Dark Souls 1 than Dark Souls 1 was to Demon Souls 2.
Well, Demon Souls 1.
Sorry.
But still, like, I'm curious to see how they're going to, because these stories are really interwoven really well, but they don't give it to you. Like, you don't work through a place and talk to someone who just gives you all the exposition for the next place. Like, it's really up to the player to really be listening to every person that you interact with, whether good or evil or indifferent, and listen to them. Because they're going to give you everything that you want. They're just not going to be like, well, the princess got eaten up by that dragon like 300 years ago, and now her shard thing is like hanging somewhere. No, you might hear a dude go, man, I lost my wife because I took her to that cave that one time. Well, the cave is important. I better find that cave. Not that he said which cave it is. But,
well, I mean,
oh, look, there's six caves. I've got a lot of searching to do and a lot of things to fall off of and die.
I mean, cave searching is important, though. It's like searching your own soul.
Soul. I know. You just went there with me.
I did.
But regardless. So it looks like I'm going back into my pile of games I'm halfway through. Because I need to...
Which that pile, I gotta tell you, Panda, it doesn't seem to ever get smaller.
That's not true. I actually just moved one to, I don't think I'm gonna play this again. So it did move. It did lessen. But I have to go back to it because Dark Souls is calling me back, and I think I'm more mature now to take it on.
You had a rage quit.
Thanks.
I'm calling it. Dude.
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 Anyway, so that was the jaw dropper from the world premiere announces that they had at VGAs. But so, I mean, this is a great tie into actually what came out of the VGAs.
Okay, let's start this up because there's not enough talk already throughout the weekend on Twitter and on Facebook about the VGAs and what they got right and what they got wrong and all that kind of stuff. Every year that the VGAs happen, we talk about what we think.
Who the winner was and if we agree with the...
Or disagree. And if we disagree, why? And if we agree, why?
And if we're indifferent, why?
We just like to address the whys. So...
Why?
Yeah, so I'm going to work backwards because I don't want to start with Game of the Year because I think that that's cheap and I'm not fair. So let's talk about a Character of the Year.
All right, sure.
Okay, so Character of the Year, the nominees were Claptrap from Borderlands 2, Connor from Assassin's Creed 3, Commander Shepard from Mass Effect 3, Master Chief from Halo 4, and Raul Menendez from Call of Duty Black Ops 2. Now, each of those characters is ridiculously unique, which I think is really cool.
I love the fact that we actually, like, had a villain.
That's true. It wasn't all good,
guys. It wasn't, like, best hero and best villain. Like, it was just best character. So it opened the world up to even it being, like, an NPC or someone who wasn't a character that you outright manipulated.
Yeah, and Raul Menendez, for anyone that's played Black Ops 2, you understand immediately why that character is included in that roundup. Personally, for me, I think that the Menendez character is one of the best villains that's been done. I put that straight up there with Voss. I
wonder if Voss is going to make 2013.
Because
this game came out, you know, Far Cry was released way too close to VGAs for it to be considered.
Correct. It had to be, the games that were on this list had to be games that were playable before the VGAs actually went live. And it missed it by a hair. So I imagine that Voss is probably going to be one of the characters.
One of the nominees for next 2013.
Year. You know, when I started thinking about this group, frankly, my mind first went to Menendez. Because for me, Shepard, you know, really varies on whether or not you pick a male or a female. And how you play Shepard, of whether or not I think that that's a really interesting character or not, right?
Well, I think what they're doing with Commander Shepard is they're taking the player out of it. Because, I mean, you still have, you know, past Shepherds, and we have the same voice actors from 2 coming in and delivering them. Because I believe that the delivery trees, like the dialogue trees, are very similar between both female and male Shepherds.
Yes, they are. What I'm saying is, as far as being unique, you know, to me, to be up for character of the year, you have to be different than any other character that I've ever played before. And for me, Shepherd only becomes really
that
colored
memorable
in
because it's you,
because of the choices that the player makes to with the character and how they play them. You know, if you play Shepard as a male Shepard and you go blazing the trail of the
I'm
typical
gonna sleep with everything with a pussy.
Well, the typical hero, right? You don't make any of the choices that are shades of gray. You make the all pure white choices.
Well, that's Paragon in that regard.
Right, but that's not a unique new character to me. That's, you know, the hero. We know the hero.
Right, and then we know the Byronic hero, which is all the renegade choices, they're still doing it for the greater
good
but with a dash, you know, of vengeance
so,
or
so
something
it's really
else.
It is the user inserted into the point that makes, for at least for me,
the character unique
or not unique.
Okay.
So I kind of threw Shepard out of being character of the year. Shepard is a badass character, don't get me wrong, but it's really because of the player, the user, that Shepard becomes badass or not. So I threw Shepard out. So then you go with Connor, and Connor is a badass. There's no denying that. I mean,
but I don't think he's unique enough either.
I mean, being Native American and
British,
and voiced really well, and I think brought to life really well. I didn't think that Connor lined up with all the other characters from games that came out this year stood out enough. So then that leaves you, or at least for me, it leaves me with Claptrap, Master Chief, and again, Menendez. And so I'm running through this pile. I'm like, okay, I gotta throw out Master Chief.
Because you've never played a Halo game in your life.
Hold up, I have played Halo games. I've never finished the fight. I've never finished a Halo game.
So you have not finished the awesomeness that is Master Chief.
I have not finished a Halo game. I understand how awesome Master Chief is. But Master Chief has been around, not a unique character, not new. We're talking about Halo.
This is character of the year. We're not looking for best new character.
But for me, character of the year has to be something that I haven't, you know, done before. It really hasn't. Otherwise, I could... If character of the year doesn't bring anything new and isn't a new experience, then character of the year every year should be Nathan Drake anytime that there's an Uncharted game, period.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, if you're basing it off of that.
All right, I'm saying
that if you're giving someone the honor of coming up with the character of the year, it should be something that is unique, that is new, that is not done before, experienced before. You know, even if it's just a new take on an existing character.
Which and, they did in Black Ops 2 with, you know...
with Menendez. But, you know, Master Chief isn't any different from Halo 1 to Halo 2 to Halo 3 to Halo 4. It's fucking Master Chief.
Remember, there was Outreach.
Okay, and Master Chief has already been a character of the year, so I threw Master Chief out. So now I'm down to Claptrap, and I'm down to Menendez.
Okay.
And I went with Menendez, if I was picking it. And it's just because, really and truly, the story throughout the game develops, the villain is developed at the same speed as the lead character. And it's almost...
And they made the villain more human.
Exactly. And that...
Where you saw where his motivations were and why he...
Correct, because you saw the evolution of the villain in the same speed and space as you saw the evolution of the protagonist. And that, I don't think, has been done as well, especially in a first-person shooter, as it was in Black Ops 2. However, the winner was Claptrap. And I wasn't too upset because I was down to my 1 and 2. And I love Claptrap. I think Claptrap is a hysterical character. It's written well. It's witty. Claptrap is just funny as shit. I love Claptrap. But
he dances to Wub Wubs.
I love Wub Wubs.
You Wub Wub Wubs.
I Wub the Wubs so much. I have so much Wub for the Wub Wubs.
So much Wub for you.
But
I got nothing for Wubs for you, baby.
But Claptrap isn't new or unique. Claptrap has been Claptrap from the first game, where he was just as witty and unique, and the reason why he exists in the second game is because he was much beloved from the first. So I kind of felt like this was a makeup for not getting it before.
Right.
And so then it felt like the Oscars for a second, and then I was like, no, it's the VGAs. So for me, I went with Menendez over Claptrap, but I completely understand Claptrap and the whole play that the character made in his acceptance speech, were basically insinuating that he should be in Dance Central 3. And if you want to make that happen, Harmonix, that would be awesome. So if the Gearbox people could get with the Harmonix people, I would totally play I Don't Care Whatever the Hell the Song Is with Claptrap. So I'm not broken up about it, but I would have gone with Menendez.
Okay.
In that one.
All right.
Best performance by a human female. I really didn't have a real opinion.
Here's my issue. Like looking at some of these.
Yes.
So now, I mean, I love Commander Shepard.
Yep.
I do. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't have a problem with Jennifer Hale being in the run up for this.
Correct.
I don't have an issue.
Nope.
I do have an issue with Emma Stone, however.
Why?
Because Emma Stone's character, for one, she played Amanda Cartwright in Sleeping Dogs.
Yep.
Which is the first bitch you bang.
Bangity bang bang da bang bang bang.
Like, I mean, you kind of flirt with Tiffany, but you bang Amanda first.
Well,
like,
it depends on which order you play the missions.
But, I mean, you get introduced
yes.
to Tiffany first.
Yes.
And you flirt with her to get to the place you need to get the clue to do what you're going to do.
Yep.
So that opens up the whole, hey, there are bitches, you may want to bang them, they might perk up right. your life.
If after the first time you talk with Amanda, though, you go back to the joint that Tiffany's at, you can actually bang Tiffany first. I'm just saying.
All right, well.
But anyway,
regardless,
for most people, the first chick you bang
is Amanda.
And then she gone.
And then she rolls up. So you meet this fine piece of blonde American ass
who's
traveling trying to find herself.
Yep.
You go on one date where she's wearing a thin white paper dress.
Finds herself on your junk.
And then all of a sudden you can see shrines all over Hong Kong.
I mean, it's kind of magic, guys.
Like, I mean, if they had done more with her, like, I mean, and Emma Stone's a great actress, so I mean, I don't think I'm really griping on her performance as Amanda, but they didn't do a lot with her.
Nope.
Whereas, I mean, at least, you know, Jennifer Hale could be a lead protagonist in her game. I think Melissa Hutchinson was Clementine in The Walking Dead, which, if you watch The Walking Dead, she does play a pivotal role in the show, and she does in the game. So even though she's maybe not, like, the lead protagonist, she's in that group of lead protagonists that you become attached to. So you have this little element of protagonist versus barely plot objective NPCs for me. And it's disjointed for that part. So, I mean, right off the bat, I would have gone with Jennifer Hale or Melissa Hutchinson, and I actually think she won it.
Yeah, Melissa won.
For The Walking Dead. So, I don't have a problem with that lineup, but I don't like everyone who was given the honor of being a nominee because of the extent of the character or lack thereof of the character.
Well, I agree and I disagree because...
I'm sorry, has the voice for Navi from Zelda ever won best voice? No. And you want to know why? Because Navi doesn't do much besides say, watch out, look for that, and, you know, what else is... Listen. And then says nothing about listening.
But Navi's available in the entirety of the game. Like, Amanda is only available for a few missions and then she's gone.
But Amanda gives more to your character in Sleeping Dogs than Navi does in several of the games.
And I don't know that Navi's ever been nominated, so I don't understand why you're disagreeing with me, because I think we're agreeing on the same point.
We probably are, but pan tangents.
Okay, all I'm saying is, when you look at the list, right?
Yes.
You have one nominee who is not a character who's pivotal throughout the entirety of the game. And that one character is Ember Stone. Okay? Cortana is Master Chief's AI. Cortana's available the entirety of the fucking
game. She's a Navi. She's Navi to Master Chief.
Except she says more than three things.
And she's far more fleshed out.
Okay? You have Shepard, who is the protagonist in the game.
That is a badass bitch.
Okay? And then you have Melissa Hutchins. And...
Well, Clementine is...
Yeah. And so all I'm saying is... You know, I don't see any reason that just because a character's time within the game is short should negate them from
being
a great performance. If you have a great voice actor deliver a role and it just so happens to be that in the story the character doesn't last long, that's not the person delivering the role's fault. That's the writer of the game and the person penning the story.
I'm just saying that it's hard to let a character who's barely in the game for 10 minutes be compared to the female protagonist of an entire trilogy.
I think that it depends
on... There's a different body of work.
I think it depends on...
Well, I think stuff.
Well, I think that it depends on what the character is there to do and how they're delivered. It doesn't matter because she didn't win.
It's not like Amanda Cartwright was like Hedy Lamarr and had this... Wait, was that Hedy Lamarr who had the wrote, like, the plans for something scientific on her panties? Is that Hedy Lamarr?
I can't even respond to that!
It's not like Amanda Cartwright has a magical cooch.
That's but she did, because once you hit it, you could see shrines.
On your HUD.
I'm just
saying that the chance encounter just made it so that you stared at the street a little better and saw something glowing in the distance. That's all her cooch did.
That's pretty fucking magical.
And only
can your cooch show people lanterns that extend their life?
My cooch can detect the weather.
No, it can't.
It can't.
Stop lying.
There's a 10% chance it's going to rain tomorrow.
No, there's not, you liar.
Regardless, okay, I am not discrediting Emma Stone. I am just not for.
Okay, the let's character. Just move on to best performance by a human male. How about that?
Okay, fine.
Okay, so first you had James McCaffrey as Max Payne in Max Payne 3. You had Nolan North as Captain.
No,
Walker.
He's won enough.
In Spec Ops The Line. You had Dave Fennoy as Lee Everett in The Walking Dead, and you had Damian Clark as Handsome Jack in Borderlands 2. Now, Panda, out of that list, who do you think gave the best performance in the game. Because it's not about the best character in the game. It's best performance of bringing a character to life.
All right. Well.
Because that's what we're talking about.
Well.
Okay, Aaron Hall with your wells. Teddy Riley, what's up?
Now, I've played Max Payne 3.
Yes, kind of.
I've started Max Payne 3.
And then you moved it to a list.
And then I moved it to the I'm going to get it back to it list, and then it's just been there.
Yeah.
I have played the first episode of The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
And I've played Borderlands 2.
Uh-huh.
And out of those three games, I like Max, I like the, you know, Max Payne from Max Payne 3 a little bit over Handsome Jack. And the only reason why I say that is because me personally as a player was so annoyed that all he wanted to do was talk smack at me when he kept talking all big and bad about how he could just take me out whenever he wanted to, and yet he never did. I put a bullet into his balls and his face.
Bullet. In the balls.
Like, I'm just saying. Like, I understand that, you know, certain antagonists, you know, they'll monologue at you at certain times in movies. But they're not perpetually monologuing at you through the whole entire game.
Right.
Which is what Handsome Jack does. I think he doth protest too fucking much.
He doth protest too much.
Like, it's kind of like what happened in Fable 2, I think it was, where you got your champions together, and you're waiting for this epic battle, and then you shoot the dude in the face and that's it.
I know.
That's what it felt like.
Although he did shoot my dog, so that fucker had it coming.
But then if you don't shoot him in that game, the gunmaster guy shoots him.
He's gonna get shot.
And so it's melodramatic either way, and I felt like they
were... Well, it was anticlimactic, right? You had to do all this stuff and get all these things together just to be able to stand in front of a guy.
An old fucking guy who could barely stand up.
And just put a bullet...
And put a bullet in him. Like, no one else in that giant tower has thought, hey, let me put some arsenic in his oatmeal.
Because that motherfucker do be eating a lot of oatmeal.
Like, let me just, you know, grease up the floor a little bit more. Let me wax the floor, buff it out just a little bit more.
Just right near the tub.
Right near the tub. Like, no one thought that they could take them out through, you know, accidental
means. No, I had to train for my entirety of my life.
To shoot a man in the face.
And one bullet. All I need is one gun.
And that's what I felt like.
Why did I get all these other guns and weapons?
Why did I enchant my shit when a simple regular bullet would
just
do the
trick? Regular bullet. It didn't matter if you had like a shitty gun.
You didn't. It really didn't. But I'm just saying that Handsome Jack kind of felt like that for me. Because you work so hard to get to him and you're like, I'm ready to smack it down. And you take him out swiftly. I mean, if you're, you know, awesome like me, it's pretty easy. And I'm just like, and that's it? Really?
That's it. I didn't finish the game because you didn't play it with me after the first 2 days.
So, I mean, I always thought that Max Payne as a character was very fleshed out and, you know, they always had the right voice to deliver the right emotion. So I've never had a problem with that. So, I mean, I would have switched that personally. Now, granted, Handsome Jack was entertaining for some aspects, annoying in others. So I can see why people would be like, oh, man, he's memorable to me, but not memorable in all the right ways.
Memorable in all the right ways.
Like, he's memorable to me. Like, if you told me to rattle off bad guys from games this year, he would definitely be one of the ones I'd rattle off.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't just be because of some really good lines he's ever delivered. I'd be like, I remember when he annoyed the fuck out of me that, like, 18th time in a row. But I remember him.
Right.
So I think that's what happened here, personally.
So let's talk about, just really quickly, indie games, because that one of the things that I really was impressed with the VGAs this year was that there was a lot of love shown not only to indie games, but also to unique games. You know, Journey and Walking Dead got a lot of attention and actually walked away with a bunch of awards. Journey got a Best Original Score, which I completely agree with. It's an amazing score. You had Telltale Games take Studio of the Year, which I love the team over at Telltale, so I was really happy and really proud to see that happen. You know, you had really fantastic games up for the Best Independent Game Award, with Journey taking it, but Fez was there, and Dust and Mark of the Ninja were in there, which I thought was fantastic. Again, you had Best Performance by a Human Female, go to The Walking Dead. You had just a lot of, I thought, well-deserved credit given to the indie side. So I really tip my hat to the VGAs for acknowledging that, because that's one thing that, you know, as the community we've talked about, really hasn't happened. The appreciation and the love for indie, and I've definitely felt it this year. You know, Journey took Best PS3 Game, which I thought was not only right, but if anything else had taken it, it just would have been wrong, because
they were on the next exclusive.
They were non-exclusive to
either console.
Yeah, they were. The other three nominees were Assassin's Creed 3, Borderlands 2, and Dishonored, which were available on the competing consoles. So, you know, the
originality fact, much? Not really.
Yeah. So I was glad to see that you know, a original exclusive title took the best platform game. I would have been upset if, like, Assassin's 3 had won it and be like, same fucking game as it is on the Xbox, so what the hell. Halo took it for the Xbox 360. You had Walking Dead take Best Downloadable Game. You had, yeah, I'm just gonna fucking say it. You had Walking Dead take Game of the Year, and I think that, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but I think that's the first time that an independent game has taken Game of the Year.
Didn't Limbo?
I can't remember if Limbo took Game of the Year or if it took indie. Best Indie Game.
It might have taken Best Indie Game.
I think it took Best Indie.
Best Downloadable, too.
But I don't think it took Game of the Year.
Because, I mean, Limbo broke the perceptions of what indie gaming could do and be
absolutely
about. And I think that's
the closest one, but I can't remember if it took Game of the Year or not. I don't think it
but
did.
But I'm glad that, you know, looking at the Game of the Year nominees, that we had two indie games.
Absolutely. You had Walking Dead and Journey in for Game of the Year, along
so
with
it wasn't
Assassin's
just
Creed Dishonored
titles
and Mass Effect.
Debating
which,
who was going to take it this year.
Which I think at the start of the year, everyone was just sure that, okay, this is Mass Effect's year, right?
Yeah.
Three is gonna,
I think everyone thought Mass
everything.
Effect 3 was going to take it.
And then
BioWare was like, no original ending.
But Mass Effect did take Best RPG, which I thought, you know, with the category.
Well, out of the ones that were up for nomination,
which are Diablo 3, Torchlight 2,
which is essentially Diablo 3.
Yeah, and Xenoblade Chronicles,
which, like, I never played.
There's no way that Mass Effect couldn't have taken that.
Now, I mean, if there had been a Dragon Age game that came out this at the same
time,
that
would have been that.
I think that would have contended.
But I just have one more that I'm going to talk about, because you can see the whole list of winners on Spike's website, and we'll include a link in the notes that go out with the podcast. But there really, for me, was one category where I was like, what the fuck? So I want to talk about that really quickly, and then we're going to have to call it a show, because we could just go on and tear all of the categories a new one. But this one really kind of did it for me. So Best Fighting Game.
Oh, I know why this pushes your buttons.
It really grinds my gears. So let's talk about it. The nominees for Best Fighting Game this year.
Do you mean let's gripe about it? Because I feel like you're going to gripe about this.
I might gripe about it for quite some time. There might be gripes and groans.
Gripes and groans.
You had Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Street Fighter Cross Tekken. You had Dead or Alive 5. And you had Persona 4 Arena as your nominees for Best Fighter.
Now, have you ever played a Persona fighting game, though?
I have played a Persona fighting game.
Okay.
Well, let me put it this way. I have played a demo of a Persona fighting game.
All right.
Okay. And I've seen the Persona anime, which I really like, and I understand the background of Persona, so I don't feel like it's just because I don't know the characters that I would make a negative review or have a not positive feeling about the title because I don't know anything about it. I'm aware of Persona, and like I said, I played a Persona fighting game demo before on my PS3. Persona 4 Arena took it.
Okay.
I completely
lost your shit.
I didn't lose my shit. I almost lost my shit because I do not agree with this at all. Now, I'm gonna say this so that you guys don't flip a nutty. Persona 4 Arena is a really good fighting game. Okay?
But the
Did
best-
you hear me? Did you hear me? It's a really good fighting game. But for me, who has played all of its competitors, I would not say that Persona 4 Arena is better than its competitors in this category at all. Frankly, I think that Tekken Tag Tournament 2 is better than Persona 4 Arena. But for me, frankly, Dead or Alive 5 is better than all of them. Now, I know you're going to say, hey, Ninja, you love the DOA 5. Oh, my God. You did that long-ass review of it, and you didn't stop talking about it when it came out.
You're
That's
still
right.
dreaming about it.
And the reason why is because it's a good fighter. What a fighter should be, it has. With some sexy time in it, which makes it awesome. And I do not agree that Persona 4 Arena is better than it. And I was really disappointed. Like, of all the categories, that was the one that gave me the most disappointment. Second to that was Game of the Decade, but I'm going to do a write-up about that that you can find on our website.
I can't wait to read that.
Because, yeah, we'll talk about that. But we want to hear from you what you think of the VGAs. You know, you can always hit us up on our Facebook page and share that. But you want to make sure that you are checking in with us on our home, away from home, where we put stuff up fresh and first. www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can always find our podcast at our home, which is our home, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That's esh.co. The short address is buzzed to the long one. Check out any articles that have been written within the week. All questions and comments should go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. And also, I mean, since you listen to us here, you know we got this podcast that we do.
That's right. We put out brand new podcast episodes every week, and you can get those podcast episodes the moment we put them out on the web if you subscribe to our podcast either via the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, you visit the iTunes Music Store on your desktop, or the Microsoft Store and search for Electric Sisterhood and hit the subscribe button that appears as soon as your search results come back to ensure that you get our podcast episodes the moment we put them out on the interwebs for your enjoyment. But if you're not living La Vida I or the Zoom life, you can
plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, there's a couple of other people we suggest you look at, too.
Absolutely, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. You can catch our brand new podcast episodes on Monday, but follow that up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck on Tuesday. Then follow that up with an episode of the Geek Agro podcast on Wednesday, because that way you'll have all your nerd and geek needs satiated, with the exception of what to buy this holiday, which is why we recommend checking out our holiday gift guide, which gives you all the tools and links that you need to not suck at gift giving this holiday season.
Suck no more.
So make sure that you check that out. You can find it on our website. You can find it on any of our respective websites. It's good stuff. Make it happen. Then we're on the Twitters. We share links to the gift guide on the Twitters. Wink, wink. And you can check out all the news that we're sharing at ESH News, all one word, on Twitter. If you want to see all the people that make up the Land of Esh and add them to your Twitter streams, then you want to hit up my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. Follow those people, and your dopeness will increase by plus 20. That's a lot of plusage going on, people. Like Panda said, we're on Facebook, so you can ask us questions, suggest things for us to check out and do reviews on, and we'll loop that stuff in. We'll make it happen. because that's, you know, what we do. We make dreams come true, kinda. Some internet ones, but not all of them, you know, because I'm not fucking Santa or whatever, but I'm so cool. So there's all that. We're on the interwebs. You can be on the interwebs with us. It's good times. Holiday cheer. Shit like that. Panda?
Yeah.
What you digging this week?
Mega Ran.
Oh, yes.
Duh.
You know, because that's coming.
That's coming in next week's show.
Next week's show.
Special guest.
It's us and Mega Ran.
We're going to sit down and talk intimately about him.
Oh, it's going to get comfy cozy up in this bitch.
We're going to have a full cast.
Huh? What? Wait, what?
Yeah, we have a full cast.
We are?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Well, three of us.
Oh.
Full cast.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It is
gonna. And then after that, we'll have another special guest the week after that.
I know, right? We're just special guesting it.
We are special
all the way to
the
2014. Because we're gifting you gifts. Holiday season.
I heard you like gifts, so we got special guests.
So, I heard you like gifts, so we got special guests to guest hosts on our podcast. So you could have guest host gifts on your podcast.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's as close as I'm going to make it. So, that's all I got.
What shit are you digging this
ding
week?
Dongs! Because they don't get the respect they deserve.
Ding, ding, dong. Ring-a-ding, ding, ding, dong.
And now you can't find them anywhere.
Nowhere.
Come back, hostess. Come back.
Fuck Twinkies.
As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Panda Lee.
We're out until next week, people.
Nerd life.
Nerd life.